Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Muhammad is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, the class is the how Satan controls man's heart. In other words, the forms of shaitan whispered. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, shaitan has an effect on the son of Adam, and the angel also has an effect. As for the effect of the shaitan, it is by his promise of an evil and rejection of the truth. And as for the effect of the angel, it is by his promise of a good end and believing in the truth. This is the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will clarify to you in detail the meaning of the hadith and how it is related to Iblis. In order to analyze the above hadith, we need to know that the heart of man has two gates, outer external gates and inner ones. Regarding the outer gates of man's heart, these are the five senses. Vision, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting. So again, the five senses are vision, tasting, hearing, touching, and smelling. When any of these senses are affected by an external stimulation, they will send a message to the heart, which in turn will show its response, that is to say, the feelings towards that external stimulation. For example, when you see a big dog running towards you, this is the vision, immediately you will feel fear inside your heart. And when you see a beautiful baby, you will feel happiness in your heart. The meaning is that these senses are the outer gates for man's heart. Okay? Regarding the inner gates of man's heart, these are the ones mentioned in the previous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To make it more clear, let us realize that these are the ideas, okay, or the whims, okay, which we feel internally, okay, in our heart and in our mind. You always notice that all the time you have, you know, something going on inside your heart and mind. You know, these are the ideas or the whims, okay? And these are the motivators of man's will. According to the idea, you will move, okay? And these ideas are of two types. These are basic information which we need to know it so that, you know, we can realize how we can plan our decisions in life. Okay, I have to know how the decision started inside my mind and inside my heart. So these ideas are of two types. And the first type is an idea calling for the good and the truth. For example, when you wake up in the morning today, Monday, okay, you will have an idea or a whim inside your heart and inside your mind that today is Monday, you have a class at 11:30, start to prepare your survey in advance so that you will be there in time, okay? This is an idea calling you for the good end, because when you will attend, you will have the reward of the masjid and whatever we mention about, you know, the reward of coming to the masjid. So this is the good idea, and it is the truth, okay? Because the good is the truth, because all are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the truth, and whatever related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leading to the good. When you will come to the masjid, when you will follow this idea, okay, you will have good deeds. You will do a good deed, okay? So this that idea is called the guidance. Okay, this is the guidance. The guidance is an idea inside your heart and mind which is related to the truth, calling you for the good end. If you will follow that idea, you will have a good end. This is caused by an angel, the one who is calling you. Yes, subhanallah, I have a reference for this information. This is called by an angel. The angel will always call you to do the good. Okay, whatever kind of good, okay, to call your mother, to ask about her, to feed the needy, to be patient, whatever good deed you are doing it, the idea or the whim, okay, is caused by the angel, according to the command of Allah, but the cause is the angel. The angel is Allah's creation for spreading of the good. You see, this is why, okay. The reason for that is to win, okay, if you follow the guidance, you will be a winner. Okay, so this is the first kind of ideas inside every one of us. As soon as you will have this idea inside you, immediately you will have a totally different one, the opposite. As soon as you tell to yourself, today is Monday, I have to prepare myself and to go, immediately you will have another idea, but today you were supposed to clean the house and to adjust everything, and you look that your schedule is too busy today, there is no place at all for going to the masjid, try to cancel it. And also, you see, this is number one. If you tell, no, also I want to go, I am convinced to go. The class is on the internet, so what is the need to go? You see, he will try with you from all the means, not from once, you know, you want to go, so you will have this idea, don't go, okay, then you say, no, I want to go, it will stop, the other call will never stop, okay, this other call is the call for the evil, and rejection of the truth, and this is called the whisper of the shaitan. Okay, and the cause of the whisper is the shaitan. Shaitan is Allah's creation that is spreading evil. So whenever you have an idea inside your mind and your heart that, you know, for whatever evil, you know, evil doesn't mean that, you know, you will do evil. Rejection of the truth is evil. Okay, if you want to go to the masjid to have good deeds, then you stop. Okay, this is an evil deed because you stop doing an act which will lead to have a reward and to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The reason, okay, for the loss is to follow the whisper of the shaitan. The mean is that whenever you will follow the whisper of the shaitan, you are a loser. Under any circumstances. Even if you don't realize that, you know, I will be a loser. What is the problem if I stay at home and I listen to the class on the internet? What is the problem? Why I am a loser? You can ask this question. Okay? The immediate answer is that, number one, are you sure that if you will not go to the masjid, you will listen to the class on the internet 100%? No one is sure. Maybe I will not put the class on the internet. Okay? Maybe something will happen to the recorder. The class will be lost, for example. Okay, the meaning is that, okay, this call has an aim which is to stop you from doing the good deed. This is number one. So long as you decide to follow that call and I will not go to the masjid today, that call will be feeling that this is very good. I did the first step. I prevent her from doing the good. Next step, let me make her busy with something which she will have bad deeds if she will do it, okay, or sins, okay. For example, you will tell to yourself, let me open the television, okay. Not all the television is bad, but spoiling the time. You were about to use the time for something good. You were about to get knowledge, to come to the masjid, whatever. You know, a lot of good deeds, but you stopped all of this. And you start to spoil your time in nonsense. Your time, you will be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you how you spend your time. Okay? So when your timetable will all full of television, computer, telephone, television, okay? This means that this is sins because you didn't use the time which is your life for something beneficial, either for yourself or for the others. Okay, so number two, okay, you will, whatever deed you will do it instead of coming to the masjid will not be equal to the reward which you were supposed to get from the masjid. Number three, okay, gradually you will have the habit not to come to the masjid at all. Okay, this is, you know, one of the goals. Next week it will be the same, third week it will be the same. So coming to the masjid will be stopped. Okay, reading the Quran or recitation of the Quran, will you will be weak gradually. When you will try after 6 months to read the Quran or to recite the Quran, it will be very difficult for you. There is no interest at all. Okay? And this means that what is the end of this goal, which started with you, for example, 6 months ago? The goal or the end of that goal is that you are completely away from the masjid. You are completely away from the Quran. Whatever knowledge which you were supposed to get to link you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped completely. You replace all this good by whatever you replace, which is never equal to it. Maybe you, instead of having sisters from the masjid calling you to memorize or to recite or to help the poor or whatever, the rest of activities of your life, which you were, your coming to the masjid was reflected on them, also stopped completely. Now you have different kind of friends, you know. The most important for them is, you know, joking, spending time, complaining from the husbands, complaining from life in America, you know, whatever. Complaining, evil. Okay, yes, this is evil. So all the time, you know, you need the knowledge. Okay, because the knowledge will give you the light. And when you have the light, you can decide correctly. Okay, this is the light of the belief. When you have the light of the belief, you can have correct decisions for your own daily life. Okay, people are under the impression that when I learn my faith, this means that I am learning knowledge for the life to come. Okay, for the day of judgment. Yes, after life. So I am not interested. I am interested in this life. Okay, this is the wrong information which most of the people are believing, because in reality they never come to know the true knowledge of the Quran. When you learn the true knowledge of the Quran, you will realize that you cannot live your daily worldly life correctly, happily, except when you have the knowledge of the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the life, this worldly life and the other life. So you cannot live in His universe except according to His rules, because He is the creator. His rules are in His book. So if we are getting His book out of our life and living our life according to our own rules, which are not related to the Quran at all. So the meaning of this is that all the way of life which the people are living away from the rules of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are wrong, because this is the rules of the creator. He will tell you have to sleep 8 hours. You have to sleep at night. Okay? Most of the people are not sleeping at night. Now, you see, you have to have love and affection and mercy in your heart. Most of the people, they don't have this feeling now. Don't run after the worldly life, because it doesn't equal anything. Most of the people are spoiling all their, you know, their life, their time, their activity, their effort, their hopes, whatever, for the worldly life. This is all wrong. You see? So this is the importance of knowing the knowledge. So now when I learn this, only this kind of information, I realize that all the time I have to be very critical with the ideas which I have inside my heart and my mind. And I have to evaluate. This is from the angel, and this is from the evil. This is from the angel, this is from the evil. Whatever from the angel, I have to follow it, even if it is difficult for me, or I don't like it, or it seems not fitting with my nature, but this is the good. It will lead you to the good. It will lead you to the true happiness. The other one, the evil ideas, even if it is more easy. Okay, and now I will clarify to you why it is always for us more fitting to follow the evil ideas more than to follow the good ideas from the angel, because this is the ways which the shaitan is always trying with the mankind to turn him away from the right path. As he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that until the day of judgment, the only goal for the shaitan is to turn the mankind away from the right path and to come to him from all the directions. Okay? So you always feel that the evil idea is more fitting for me. But the people will not call them evil ideas. You know, they will choose different names. Because there is no one who will say, when you ask her, sister, what are you doing? No one will reply and tell you, I am doing evil. None is saying, I am doing evil. When one sister is all the time fighting with her husband, you tell her, what are you doing? This is not good. This is evil. She will tell you, no, never. This is my right. Yes, I have to fight for my rights. But in reality, this is evil ideas. Okay, when you analyze it correctly, okay, we are not saying that women are not supposed to get their rights. You have to have your rights completely, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all your rights. Okay, but when you keep on fighting, okay, all the time, first, the wife is not supposed to fight, and the husband is not supposed to fight. Fighting is not the way of communication between two mankinds. Okay, but whatever you notice in your life, okay, this is mostly evil deeds, but the people are not giving them the right title. This is evil deed. No, this is whatever. Evil? No, I am not doing evil. When you tell to anyone you are doing evil, who will accept and agree that, yes, my deed is an evil deed? None. Ever. Okay. So we have to realize this fact. This is number one. Accordingly, inside man's heart, inside man's conscience, there is a battle between the angel who is calling for good, promising the good and the paradise, and the shaitan who is calling for evil, disbelief and corruption, promising evil, loss and hellfire. Okay, this battle is going on every second inside every one of us. So it is the duty of everyone who is looking for the good and the paradise to follow the angel who is calling for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone has to reject completely the shaitan who is calling for the disobedience of Allah and the hellfire. The problem is that when you tell to the people you have a battle inside yourself between the angel and the shaitan, and the shaitan is calling you for evil and for corruption, and the hellfire will be the end, okay? Everyone will tell you, no, you are wrong. Immediately. Who tell you that, number one, I am following the evil? Number two, that I will be in the hellfire. Okay? Everyone will never, there is no one who will accept this reality. Now I will clarify to you why we are not accepting these realities and how we can, inshallah, try to get rid of the whisper of the shaitan inside us. We realize that the whisper of the shaitan is a call for evil. This is number one. You have to have this rule clear inside you. The whisper of the shaitan is a call for evil. This whisper has many forms, as mentioned in the Quran. We need to learn about the forms of shaitan whisper to man, as these whispers of the shaitan are the ways to control man's heart. Knowing them will allow us to avoid them completely, as these are the gates to the hellfire. And now we will learn the forms of shaitan whispers. Number one, deceiving promises and false hopes. Number two, fear. Number three, desires and confusion. We will start with the first form of shaitan whisper, which is deceiving promises and false hopes. And we will read from Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verses from 117 to 121.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن يدعون من دونه إلا إناثا وإن يدعون إلا شيطانا مريدا. لعنه الله وقال لأتخذن من عبادك نصيبا مفروضا ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولأمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولأمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا يعدهم ويمنيهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا أولئك مأواهم جهنم ولا يجدون عنها محيصا.
They, all those who worship Allah, nothing but female deities besides Him, Allah, and they invoke nothing but Shaitan, Satan, a persistent rebel. Allah cursed him, and he, Shaitan, said, I will take an appointed portion of your slaves. Verily, I will mislead them, and surely I will arouse in them false desires, and certainly I will order them to slit the ears of cattle, and indeed I will order them to change the nature created by Allah. And whoever takes Shaitan as a wali, protector or helper, instead of Allah, has surely suffered a manifest loss. He, Shaitan, makes promises to them and arouses in them false desires, and Shaitan's promises are nothing but deceptions. The dwelling of such people is hell, and they will find no way of escape from it.
Meaning, ayat or verses which we read now is that in days of ignorance, the Arabs believed that the angels are God's daughters. So they made statues representing these angels and gave them feminine names, such as Al-Lat and Al-Uzza. Okay? Then they worshipped these idols in order to be closer to God, because they were believing that they are God's daughters. Okay? This was the case at the beginning. But then they worshipped the idols themselves. This is how they become idol worshippers. Okay? In reality, they invoked their old enemy Satan, as he was the one who advocates such practices in order to divert them from the divine guidance. This is, you know, the shaitan. All the time he is trying to turn, you know, mankind away from the right path. Okay, this is the whims of the shaitan. This is the ideas of the shaitan. Okay, the God has daughters, make statues for them so that you become closer to God. When they make the statues, okay, worship the statues now. So they become idol worshippers. You see, Allah has rejected Satan, who declared that he will pursue a section of mankind to commit evil actions. Okay, this is the shaitan. Okay, shaitan, he declared that he will pursue a section. There must be part of the group of the mankind, of section of the mankind, whom they will follow his evil actions. Okay, and the example of that at that time was the slitting of the ears of the cattle. Why they were slitting? They were slitting the ears of the cattle so that they become forbidden to ride or to eat. Okay, when they want to have some cattle forbidden from eating or riding, this is the shaitan also. He gives them this idea. Okay, slit their ears so that they are forbidden. The cattle which their ears are slitten, they are forbidden to be eaten or to be driven. Okay, although God has not prohibited them to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give them the permission to slit the ears and to say now after slitting the ears of the cattle, they are haram for riding and haram for eating. But this is the shaitan. Okay? And also the shaitan, he was the one who pursued them to change God's creation, such as the plastic surgery operations which are going on now. Okay? This is how. Number one, we need to realize that all the facts which are happening in the 21st century are mentioned in the Quran. Okay? Allah said in the Quran that the shaitan will command mankind to change God's creation. Okay? And one of the forms of changing God's creation is this rhinoplasty, the people whom they are changing the size of the ears and whom they are making the facelift Okay, everyone whom she is above 50, 55, she wants to show that she is 30, 35. Okay, in spite of the fact, in reality, she is 55. Okay, but she doesn't want to believe it. So Shaitan will come to her with the golden idea. Okay, that no problem, just changing us creation. If your face now looks old, change it. Make it to be looking small, okay? If your body shape, you don't like it, change it completely, okay? So we have to realize that this kind of actions, okay, people are taking it very simple and saying, what is the problem? If I want to look 15 years younger than my age, what is the problem? There is a very big problem, major problem. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not mention it in the Quran. Okay, and it is very clear to everyone that it is linked to the shaitan. So that no one will say, oh Allah, I was confused, I was not sure, this is a shaitan command. Okay, what is the problem with this kind of plastic surgery operations, which everyone who can have an opportunity to do it, they are doing it. Actually, once they were mentioning that in Lebanon, okay, you can't imagine, it is all over in America, in Egypt, or in Paris, in England, in every place. But in Lebanon, especially, yes, this plastic surgery is an economy. What I mean?
Economy booster.
Yes, this is called an economy booster.
Yes. It's contributing to the growth of the economy.
Yes, it is contributing to the growth of economy in Lebanon. Whoever wants to have an operation in the excellent shape and in a good price, go to Lebanon.
That's amazing, because America, at least, or Europe, they're rich countries, and you know, with civilization come all sorts of ideas.
Yes.
But in Lebanon, they don't even have enough food to eat. They do that.
Yes. They do that because of the shaitan. Because the shaitan is controlling.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really
This is the issue, Mother. The shaitan equals confusion.
Exactly.
This is confusion. People are living very unstable life.
Yes.
Okay, so who is controlling the whole issue is the shaitan.
Actually,
all over the world, when you get the LBC, Lebanon television, you notice that all the people in the television, the female, they look the same picture.
Yeah,
all of them, they have the same size of the nose, they have the same size of the mouth, they are very beautiful, they are very fair, okay, exactly the same, okay?
I didn't think about it.
No, it is known actually, once they were, inviting someone to give a lecture in Lebanon. So she was mentioning that when I was about to have my show, I asked them to have some makeup. They told her, no. 2 or 3 hours, you will have some very minor plastic surgery and you will look totally different and you will be so amazed with the result. And she did, yes, when I went there, I have it, and I was so lucky that I have this, changes in my face, and it was very good for me. I am very happy, I'm very thankful that I went to Lebanon. Okay, so this is something, yes, this is something known now. But sisters, the problem is that, subhanAllah, all the people are not giving, the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any attention in their life at all. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified to us that the shaitan is commanding you to change my creation, okay, and Allah is saying that the end will be the hellfire. Okay, so this means that there is a problem going on with this plastic surgery. Okay, when you try to analyze how this plastic surgery operation will lead to the hellfire, okay, you will start to recognize that first, when I decide to have plastic surgery, okay, for my age, not plastic surgery for a medical problem, okay, if I have a medical problem, if someone has a big burn, okay, in the face, or, if I have septum deviation, okay, whatever operations, plastic surgery operation for medical reasons, this is, alhamdulillah, very good, okay, because it has a medical reason, okay, but when I have the plastic surgery in order to change the reality, Okay, for example, to decrease, I show up less in age than my real age, okay, or I look more beautiful, or I look more attractive, or I change the size of this part of my body and the size of that part of my body so that I look so attractive and so young, and people can put the swimming suit in the summer and enjoy it, okay. This means, you know, that we are escaping the reality, because when the women, these are the women. Actually, there are plastic surgery now for men also. But let us talk about the women. Okay, forget about the men whom they are improving their outside picture. Forget about them now. When I am a woman above 50, okay, and I am a Muslim, because we are reading from the Quran, I am supposed to realize that I am supposed to try to check my deeds. I am supposed to decide to go to do Hajj. Okay, I am this. If I am not putting head cover, I have to put the head cover. I have to check all my how I spend my life, how I spend my time. Okay, what is my relation with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala? I am ready to be in the paradise, inshallah, or my deeds are not in that direction. Okay, so I am supposed to decrease my relation, the very strong business of my life. Worldly life, I am supposed to decrease my attention to the worldly life gradually, and I have to balance my deeds to be good deeds for the worldly life and for the life to come. Okay, but instead of living this reality and this truth, okay, that I am above 50 and this every day is more closer to me, this doesn't mean that, you know, something bad, but it means a reality which everyone will face it. The people or the women will escape the whole reality. I am not above 50, I am 35. Okay, so I have to live the age of 35. How? How I can escape the reality? I will have a plastic surgery. I will have a facelift and I will adjust my body shape. Then, now I can put the jeans and the t-shirt again. Now I can look very attractive again. Now I can have the false hopes again. Okay? For what? For the 100 years which I will live it. Yes, I need to look younger than my daughter. Actually, I am more attractive than my daughter. Yes, and my husband has to realize this. And if my husband is not realizing or he is not so happy, I am 35. I can change him. No problem. Yes, I am young. Yes, this is the issue. This is the false hopes of the shaitan. The shaitan will give the call or will send the command to change God's creation. This is step number one. The problem for shaitan is to follow step number one. Then after step number one, only Allah knows what will be the end. Halas. You start the game. She will have this facelift. Then after she will have the facelift, she will change her body shape. Then she will start to realize that she needs to enjoy life to the maximum. If her husband is okay, well and good. If not, let me check other evil ways. And let us move in this direction. Okay? But the problem is that this plastic surgery operation needs repetition. So she will live all her life with this kind of operations. Okay, yeah. Yes, and she has to put, you know, creams all the time and not to expose and this. So what will be occupying all her mind and heart? That's it. I am living, when I wake up in the morning, all my mind, the main important idea is how to keep my beauty, how to take care of my beauty, how to think of myself, how to choose my clothes, how to enjoy life. That's it. The rest of the reality of life, I am out. This is the shaitan. Then the shaitan will push her another step. Try to enjoy your beauty now. Yes, you do all the operations and you have all this burden. And then you will not enjoy it. You need someone to tell you you are very beautiful, how you are changed. Yes, you need it. Okay, so she will start to change a lot of things. Allah knows what evil deeds can be done, okay, to follow or to fulfill the needs that she is very beautiful. And, you know, it will be a circle, a vicious circle of the people. Her friends will be the same mentality. Yes, so that they have to encourage each other to keep on. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how those people are living their life. But according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the end is the hellfire. Okay? Yes. So every one of us, alhamdulillah, is supposed to follow the commands of the Quran. When I start to feel that I have wrinkles in my face, alhamdulillah, and I start to look old, okay, the most important for me as a Muslim is my husband. Yes, and actually once I was having like a tumor above my eye, this is the one, and I went to the plastic surgeon in Iowa when I was living in Iowa, and in Iowa City the plastic surgeons are the best all over the world. This is the best department in the University of Iowa, yes, plastic surgery, number 3 all over the world. So the doctor there, he was a colleague of my husband, so he told me about that tumor, that let us wait, you know, for some time. So I tell to myself, let me ask him a question since I can, you know, I am having a meeting with one of the best plastic surgeons all over the world. I told him, you see, I start to look very old. What is your advice? He told me, I want to clarify to you a reality most of the people are not aware of. Most of the women are thinking that, you know, these plastic surgery operations are very simple ones and they always have excellent results. He told me, I want to clarify to you a reality. God, Allah, is the creator. He is the only one who can create excellency. Human being can never create excellency. In most of the operations, it ends with asymmetry. Try to look in the face of those women whom they have plastic surgery facelift. You will always notice that one side of their face is higher than the other one. If you try to look very closely, you will notice that the end of the mouth in one side is lower than the other one. The end of the, you know, that one side of the nose is higher than the other one. But they are the only ones who know this. He told me many times after the operation, the women are more upset than before the operation because they didn't notice a big difference, you know, and they have stitches in their face, okay, and actually they lose the impressions. After plastic surgery, you cannot show your real impression. You will look like...
Expression.
Yes, not impression, expressions. Mm-hmm. You see, all the expressions will look false. Not the real ones, you know, because of the overstretch, yes, of the face. Okay? So there is no feeling, there is no reality.
They're plastic.
Plastic, yes. It is like plastic. You see, subhanAllah, this is the word, yes. Not living. You see, there is no life. Okay? Something dead. When you look to the, yes, to the face, they are like dolls.
Yes.
As if you are looking to a beautiful doll.
Yes.
But where is the feeling? There is no feeling at all. There is no, you know, communication. They lose communication. You look to the face, then you tell to yourself, where is the feeling? There is no feeling. So he told me this is not always, you know, a positive. There is not always a positive result. I am a plastic surgeon, but I will not do it for my wife. He told me, if you're so long as your husband is happy with you, be good manners, because of the way you live with him, this is the real happiness. Forget about these issues. But this is how the women are trying to improve their psychological situations and to live in the false dreams, okay, by saying to themselves, I will have the facelift or the rhinoplasty, then I will be totally different people, then life will start. Actually, life is ending. Okay?
Yes.
This is the issue. Okay. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let us all the time link, okay, have the link between the deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified to us in the Quran, which is related to the shaitan. This changing God's creation is a deed done according to the command of the shaitan. It is prohibited in the Quran, and the end will be the hellfire. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And it is God's rule that whoever follows certain promises which Allah prohibited will have the hellfire as the final destination. The second example of the deceiving promises and false hope of certain, we will read it in Surah Al-Isra, verse number 61 up to 65. Surah Al-Isra, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, I will tell you, inshallah. Surah Al-Isra is Surah number 17. So we'll read in Surah number 17 from 61 to 65.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ قَالَ أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينًا قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ لَئِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا قال اذهب فمن تبعك منهم فإن جهنم جزاؤكم جزاء موفورا واستفزز من استطعت منهم بصوتك واجلب عليهم بخيلك ورجلك وشاركهم في الأموال والأولاد وعدهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان وكفى بربك وكيلا صدق الله العظيم.
And remember when we said, prostrate yourselves unto Adam. They prostrated themselves, except as he said, shall I prostrate myself to whom, to one whom you created from clay? Iblis said, see this one whom you have honored above me. If you give me respite, keep me alive to the day of resurrection, I will surely seize and mislead his offspring by sending them astray, all but a few. Allah said, go, and whosoever of them follows you, surely hell will be the recompense of you all, an ample recompense. And befool them gradually those whom you can among them with your voice, that is, songs, music, and any other call for Allah's disobedience. Make assaults on them with your cavalry and your infantry. Share with them wealth and children, by tempting them to earn money by illegal ways, usury, or by committing illegal sexual intercourse, and make promises to them. But shaitans promises them nothing but deceit. Verily, my slaves, that is the true believers of Islamic monotheism, and you have no authority over them. And all sufficient is your Lord as a guardian.
From these verses, we learn the following. Number one, it is the envy that eats at Iblis' heart that makes him to state that Adam was created of clay, but omits that God pressed of his soul in that clay. As we learned before, that Adam has two components, the clay and the press of God's spirit. And because of the ignorance and envy of Iblis, he always mentioned only one element, which is the clay. And he is telling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in spite of the fact that now Adam is more having more honor, because if all the angels prostrate to him, okay, but in spite of this honor, I will control him and I will deviate him. This is the arrogance of the shaitan again and again. You see, he is more having more better position than me, but I can control him, I can deviate him, I can take him to the hellfire. Okay, this is the arrogance and the ignorance and the envy of the shaitan, which we all of us has to know that the origin of all these feelings are the shaitan. So every one of us has to try not to have arrogance or envy or ignorance, because these are the characters of the shaitan. Also, we need to learn that it is God's will that the advocate of Satan should have respite to try to tempt mankind away from the divine guidance. But they have been given reason and will. This is the most important point, okay? Mankind has a will, okay? So they can follow all, they can reject Satan advice, okay? So anyone who follow shaitan, preferring the error, ignoring the signs of God's oneness, he deserves the fact that he will be in the hellfire, okay? Indeed, Satan and his followers will have the same end. No one can come and tell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Satan was pulling me to the hellfire. No, you have a will. You can choose. Everything was clear for you. There were the signs of good, Allah's oneness all over, around you. Allah sent the messengers. Okay? And you have a mind. And there is a call for good inside you, which the angel is giving to you all the time. Why you forget all these And you only follow the shaitan. You follow the shaitan because you want to follow the shaitan. You choose to follow the shaitan, so you deserve the end which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified. Allah clarified many times that whoever will follow the shaitan will be in the hellfire. So if the people are choosing by their will to follow the shaitan, so they have to be ready for the end. This is the message of the Quran. Okay, the message of the Quran is for the people to try to save themselves as soon as possible and to stop following the shaitan, okay, to stop having the false promises that on the day of judgment I can excuse, oh Allah, the shaitan was all the time pushing me. This is false, because on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply that you have a will. And this was clear in the Quran, that you have a will, you were not supposed to follow the shaitan, you choose to follow the shaitan. It was clear in the Quran, whoever chooses to follow the shaitan will have the hellfire as the final destination. Satan is deceiving man through his false promises. For example, promises include the promises of the Satan includes that, number one, you can escape God's punishment when you do haram deeds. Okay? For example, shaitan will say to a student while he is in the exam, try to cheat from the one beside you. Try to cheat. Everyone is cheating inside this room. Why you are not the only one not cheating? Allah is fair. Yes. Since everyone is cheating, so you will be like them. And Allah is fair. Okay? And Allah is the most merciful. You have always, this is the statement of the shaitan which will lead a lot of people to the hellfire. Allah is the most merciful. He wants to give them false promises until they do the good deed, then he will escape. As we clarified last class, when we clarified that, he will tell them, I didn't push you. I just tell you, you can cheat, and you were the one who chose to follow me. So I am very sorry, and the hellfire is what you deserve. So what are the forms of this false? What are the forms of these false promises? Is that he will all the time try to convince the mankind that Allah is the most merciful. When you want to hide some money from your husband, for example, he will tell you, what is the problem for this? You want to give, to have some money for you, and inshallah you will give some charity. Inshallah. There is no charity or anything, but just he wants you to take the money. So he will try to give you false promises. Get the money from your husband, extra money, hide it, take some for you, buy the new clothes which you like, and you can give half a dollar for charity. So what is the problem? This means that you are a very good person. Okay? Go ahead and have the money. Okay? So you tell to yourself, yes, this is a very good idea. I can take $100 from my husband, what is the problem? I can buy whatever I like, then I can give charity $10. This is a very good idea. I will do it. Allah is most merciful, and also I give charity. It was very good. Then it will be the habit. You know, this is the shaitan. This is step number one. Okay, you take the money. Step number two, don't tell to your husband where you are going all the time. Okay? Because you know this is not good. Your husband will prevent you maybe from going to the masjid. Yes, yes, you don't know. Hide everything from your husband so that you will have the opportunity to go to every place and you can go to the masjid. You will have the reward. He will try all the time, you know, to hide the reality, to give the false promises. Okay? So when you tell to yourself, no, I don't want to hide anything from my husband, this is not good. He will come to and tell you, maybe your husband will not be happy when you tell him, I want to go to the masjid and this and that. You don't know, you are not sure what is going on with your husband. Just keep silent. When he tell you, where are you going? You tell him, I am going to here and there, whatever. Don't tell him. You know, the aim of the shaitan is that you start to hide whatever you are doing from your husband. At the beginning, he will give you the impression that you are hiding good things from your husband. But gradually, he will start to push you to do bad things. Okay? Since you become the one to hide everything from your husband. You get my point? So this is the false promises from the shaitan. Actually, the most tempting promise Satan makes is that of God's forgiveness of sins. Okay? He is always assuring man that God's mercy is greater than all the sins. So, no need to worry about the punishment of the sins so long that they will be all forgiven. This is the false promises. You see, someone wants to put the head cover. No, don't put the head cover. The weather is so hot in Houston. You will have problems in your hair. Most of those whom they have the head cover, their hair is very brittle and very weak because of too much covering. There is no oxygen, there is no life for their hair. And Allah forgive all the sins. Allah said in the Quran that He forgive all the sins. So since Allah forgive all the sins, forget about the head cover. Concentrate on the important issues, your heart. Your heart has to be clean heart. Since you have clean heart, don't do any good deeds at all. Because Allah forgive all the sins, forget it. Don't do good deeds. What is the promise? The promise is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's greater than all the sins. Allah, and actually in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, okay, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Oh, who you believe, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah forgive all the sins. You see, but Allah forgive all the sins for those whom they have the intention not to do the sins, but occasionally they can do it. And then they repent immediately. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forgiving the sins for those whom they want to do the sins, they insist for the sins, okay, and they don't consider it sins. They consider it good deeds, their rights. Okay? So this is the shaitan with his false promises, okay, trying all the time to mislead man to do the sins, and Allah is the one most forgiving. In this verse, there is a battle between man and Satan, and actually it looks like a real one, in which loud voices are heard. Did you notice this when we read these verses of the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the shaitan to clarify to him that he can use whatever he wants against mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the shaitan, actually I want to read for you this verse so that you know its meaning. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is 161. Yes, in 61. I want to clarify to you, you know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 64, okay, He is saying to the shaitan, and befall them gradually those whom you can among them with your voice. Okay, this is the loud voice, as if there is a battle, and there are some people whom they are hiding inside a place, and the shaitan will make a very loud voice, okay, so they come, they get out. Then he will attack them, okay, with the, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you know, with the soldiers and with the horses, okay? Did you see this? Did you, with the horses and with the soldiers? Okay, you realize it or not? It is clear or not? Okay, yes, 64. You see. Also, we need to know, this is the meaning of these verses, because when you read it, sometimes you don't realize what is the meaning of this ayah of the Quran. This ayah of the Quran is giving us the image of the battle. There are soldiers and there are horses and there are loud voice, you know, during the battle between man and the shaitan. And sometimes they are, some of the scholars, they said that this loud voice of the shaitan is related to the songs, you know, the music. Yes, some of them, some agree, some not. Also, we learn that there is a partnership between Satan and his followers that includes wealth and offspring, the two main elements in this life. This partnership is manifested in every kind of haram earning and any money spent illegally. Okay? You have to know that how the people are earning haram. They are earning haram through the call of the shaitan. the shaitan will come to the man and any yes, to the mankind with the idea that, okay, you are very poor. What you will do for the future? Allah is the one forgiving all the sins. Go ahead and, you know, eat riba or whatever, steal or whatever the ways of earning haram money. And he is giving the false promises that Allah is the one forgiving all the sins. And also you will be rich and you will give a lot of charity when you will be rich. So just go ahead and get, and it is not haram actually. He will try by all the means, you know. Nowadays, regarding the riba, which is so confusing issue, okay, and some people, they say halal and haram and whatever. Now, riba is in everything in our life, okay. But Allah said that on the Day of Judgment, we will discuss this verses next class, inshallah. On the Day of Judgment, those whom they will eat haram, riba in their life, they will be resurrected as if they are totally confused, as if the shaitan is in contact with them. Okay, inshallah, this is, yes, this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, next class, inshallah. So regarding the earning, the shaitan is all the time after haram earning, with the false promises that Allah is forgiving, and the false promises that when the people become very rich, they will give a lot of charity, which inshallah will be compensating for the haram earning. Okay, and also the way how the money is spent, you know, we are not supposed, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the people whom they have wealth, to feel that this is wealth, this is my wealth, I get it through my effort, so I have the right to spend it in any way. No, this is wrong. Okay, the wealth is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is giving us this wealth as a trustee in this life. So I am supposed to spend it according to the rules of the owner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan will come and tell you, this is your wealth. Spend it as you like. Enjoy life. Okay? You know, regarding the gambling and these issues, this is haram also. Sisters, when we know that there are orphans whom they cannot find bread to eat, okay, in the Muslim countries, and we are here, I know people whom they are after having clothes only from Ralph Lauren, and the t-shirt will be more than $200, okay, they say, this is okay, no problem, I cannot have clothes except from Ralph Lauren, okay, and this is my wealth, I got it through my effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the right to spend it as I like. Don't tell me this is haram. Okay, no one tell you haram or halal. Allah knows the haram and the halal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. I want you to read this one so that everyone who is spending the money in a nonsense way, okay, he has to know that he is the brother of the shaitan. This is clear in the Quran. I want you to read these verses from the same surah, Surah Al-Isra, so that everyone will be aware of his deeds before it is too late. Actually, in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verse number 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا.
Verily, the spirits are brothers of the shayateen, and the shaitan is ever ungrateful to his Lord.
I think now, sisters, it is very clear that we are supposed to be very careful regarding the way we spend our money. Otherwise, those whom they spend in nonsense, okay, or too much for issues which doesn't deserve, and there are Muslims whom they are in need of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that they are the brothers of the shaitan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 27. And the shaitan is ever grateful to his Lord. Okay. The next lesson which we learn from this verse is that the people whom their heart is kept alive by the, through the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they address their worship, they address it purely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, That is to say, the people who maintain the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strong all the time, those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow Satan to have any power on it. That is to say, over their hearts and souls, Satan has no power. In reality, their souls are brightened with the sublime light of heaven. We have to know that so long as you keep the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strong all the time, Shaitan will not be able to attack your heart, and Shaitan will not have any power on your heart. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in the last verse which we read. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding the false promises of the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in surah number 20, surah Taha, verse number 120, which we will read it now. Actually, I'm trying to clarify how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats and repeats about the false promises of the shaitan, through which he is trying to deceive the mankind, so that everyone is aware that these are false promises of the shaitan not to follow. Okay, we will read now from surah number 20, surah Taha, verse number 120.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فوسوس إليه الشيطان قال يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى
Then Shaitan whispered to him, O Adam, shall you to the tree of eternity and to a kingdom that will never waste away.
In this verse, we need to know that the life and power are limited. Okay? And that man is hoping for survival and lasting power. This is the two hopes of the mankind. Okay? Survival and lasting power. Okay? To live forever and to have power forever. Okay? These are the desires These two desires provided Satan with suitable openings for deceiving man. Through these false promises, he is telling to Adam that I will lead you to the tree of eternity and a kingdom that will never waste away. This is the false promises, because both of them are not reality. There is no eternity, and there is no kingdom which will never waste away. So these two promises are false promises. Okay, so Shaitan promised Prophet Adam with two false promises, okay, which cannot be a reality, and in spite of that, Prophet Adam forget, and he ate from the tree. And most of the people, they also forget, okay, the facts of life, that there is no eternity, and there is no power forever, but the people, they forget these facts, and they prefer to follow the false deceiving promises of Satan, and unfortunately their destination will be the hellfire, because there is no eternity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every soul will taste death. So when Shaitan said, I will lead you to eternity, everyone has to say to him, you are a liar. This is false promises. There is no eternity in this worldly life. Okay. So, what is the second form of Satan's whisper? The second form of Satan's whisper is fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 268.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر وكم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم صدق الله العظيم
Satan threatens poverty and orders you to commit fahsha, evil deeds, illegal sexual intercourse, sins, whereas Allah promised you forgiveness from himself and bounty, and Allah is all sufficient for his creatures' needs, all knower.
This is clarifying to us Shaitan threatens mankind with the feeling of the fear of poverty in order to arouse their selfishness and greed. This fear was responsible for the practice of burying, when they bury their young daughters, the Arabs, before Islam, alive in pre-Islamic Arabia. Okay, they bury them because they were have under the two impressions. They are have feeling the shame to have daughters, and also because of the fear of poverty. This is some of the analysis of the this act of the people in the pre-Islamic Arabia. While greed and excessive love for wealth led them to usury. Both are shameful practices. It is also the fear of poverty which prevents some Muslims from paying zakat, and this is considered a major sin, and also earning money through haram ways. Okay? Because all the time when you try to reflect, people are living their life under the impression of fear of poverty. Okay, now if we say that, sister, let us collect money for the poor people in Houston, okay, so so let us collect the money for the poor in Houston, okay, and suppose I have, for example, $20 with me in my bag, and I put my hand in my bag to get the money, the shaitan will tell me immediately, don't give anything. You are in great need of this $20. Maybe you will have no gas in your car. Maybe you will have any accident during the way. Maybe your cell phone will not work. Don't give anything in spite of the fact this $20 were in my bag now for more than 3 months. Whatever money in my bag, I am not using it. I am using the credit card. Okay, but this is the shaitan. He will prevent me from giving anything because of the fear of the need of the money. You are in need of the money. Don't give it at all. Okay, this fear of spending the money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, okay, this fear is from the shaitan. Also, earning the money through haram. Okay, when someone will have 3 or 4 kids and his income is very low, the shaitan will come and tell him, you may die at any minute, then you will leave these kids. They don't have any money, they cannot have education, they cannot have anything. Try to get some money and keep it for them, even from halal, haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one forgiving all the sins, and you have to fear the poverty for your kids. Okay? And those people whom they are stealing money or whatever illegal ways, they are always under the feeling of the fear. Okay? Fear of poverty, fear of being needy, fear that their kids will be needy. Okay? This is all from the shaitan. Because if we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, we have to believe that, you know, I am not supposed to get money through illegal and haram ways, because this is against the rules of the provider, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a call from the shaitan. And so, sisters, whenever it is your duty to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when you have visitors and you want to prepare for them good table, good food, the shaitan will come and tell you, don't spend much. They will not eat all the food. Yes, don't spend too much, but prepare the table in a good way. In Islam, we are always commanded to welcome the visitors in the best way. You know, this is the signs of a good Muslim who is always spending, you know, to how you can show your sister in Islam that you like her through preparing a good, reasonable table. I didn't say that you have to prepare 10 kinds of food. No, but also you are not supposed to prepare only one kind of food, and in spite of the fact that you can prepare a better for her. This is the shaitan. All the time I want you to check with yourself how many times you were about to spend for the sake of Allah, and the shaitan will tell you, stop, stop, stop. Okay? Fear the poverty. You are in need of the money. Okay? Not now, later. When you want, for example, to do Hajj, how many now, how many I have to spend? $5,000? Your kids are still small, they will need the money for education. Education is more important, hold on now, later. Allah knows that I will be alive later or not to do Hajj. Okay, if I have the money to do the Hajj, I have to do it as soon as possible because I don't know I have life more to do it or not. Okay, this is regarding the fear of the poverty. Also in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verses number 155. Sorry, it is verse 175 from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين.
It is only Shaitan that suggests to you the fear of his awliya, supporters and friends, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So fear them not, but fear me if you are true believers.
Actually, we need to know that evil appears to be too powerful and people are paralyzed by fear, then Satan alive can accomplish what he wants of them. Thus, the right appears to be wrong and the wrong is shown to be the right. Evil and corruption become widespread while truth and justice are suppressed. And this is the environment which Satan is looking for so that he can cause the people to fear that corruption and so to follow Satan's commands and so become part of that corruption. Allah the Almighty is clarifying that to the believer that they never have to fear Satan alive as correct alive?
Alive.
As in reality they have no power, since the only power is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we have to fear only, okay, and to follow his commands. Actually, there is a very important point in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is the shaitan whom he is making you, true believers, okay, to fear him or his allies. Allah is clarifying that don't fear them, okay? Fear me if you are true believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links between the true belief and the fear of only Allah. Someone who is fearing the shaitan or the followers of the shaitan has a problem in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so clear to every one of us so that every one of us will check his belief when he feels that, oh, I am under the severe fear of those whom they have power and at the same time they are the shaitan followers. Okay, everyone has to ask himself, why I have to fear any other human being like me in this life? If I am a true believer, actually this is the test of the belief. If I am a true believer, that the only power in this life is the power of Allah. The only one who can give me benefit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who can cause harm for me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No man, no power, nothing in this life, no creatures can cause for me anything because the only will, W-I-L-L, is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I am a true believer, why I fear other human beings? I am not supposed to fear anyone. Okay, I am supposed to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the truth, okay, and to be a positive element in the community where I am living. Okay? This is the rule of the mankind on the earth. To be the positive element and true believer. Okay? If I have these two characters, alhamdulillah, I am on the right path and I am following the truth. When some people are not following the truth and they are following the shaitan, this is their problem. They will be in the hell fire. They are not supposed to control me. They are not supposed to cause fear for me. Okay? I will avoid them completely because I am a true believer that they don't have any power. It is the best to avoid shaitan and his followers, especially when they are under the false impression that they have true powers. There is no power except the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the believers through the shaitan and his followers, and the believer has to pass this test believing that the only power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have taqwa regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can control the shaitan and his followers, whom their power is the false one. And inshallah, next week we will have the third form of the whispers of the shaitan, which is the confusion. How the shaitan confused mankind by making him to see the good in the form of the bad and to see the bad in the form of the good, inshallah, next week. Before the dua, say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because both of them are against the shaitan. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, and from a change in your protection, and from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, and from the torment of the grave, and from trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves, and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offsprings comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and your favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.